The Patriots and the Rams are getting ready for this game. The Cowboys are sitting at home yet again, Taylor.
You know, it was looking good there for a while, and then we saw whenever you have to deal with a high-powered offense like the Rams in on the road in the playoffs, and when things aren't clicking for you and you're the Cowboys in that game and so many things were going wrong, you're going to be sitting at home.
It seems to always look good until the divisional round of the playoffs. That has kind of been the ceiling of Jason Garrett coach teams. Hadn't been able to get quite past that round. Obviously, they were overwhelmed in that game against the Rams. Rams end up finding a way to get to the Super Bowl, fair or not. They found a way to go
to New Orleans
and win that game. But we were just pondering, you know, pre-show and earlier today, why can't the Cowboys get to this level? What is missing? Obviously, you know, some of the things you point to, okay, you know, is it coaching? Well, they've gotten rid of Scott Linehan. They're going to try and revamp the offense with what looks to be Kellen Moore. By the way, can we mention that Kellen Moore is like the American dream in a nutshell? So he really had very little NFL-type talent. Finds a way to make a living as a backup quarterback for like 5 or 6 years, makes decent money. Then Scott Linehan likes him so much, and the Cowboys like him so much, they just decide, let's make him a quarterback's coach. We'll get rid of our other guy. Then, okay, we decide we got to get rid of Scott Linehan. And even though you have been connected to this guy your entire young career dating back to Detroit, we like you so much, we're not going to go ramp the offense up with someone else. We're just going to make you the guy. And, of course, that's not official yet, but this guy has gone from practice squad quarterback to offensive coordinator in a matter of like 700 days.
And then also, I thought going along those same lines of thinking that, all right, your first opportunity to be the play caller and be on the sidelines next to Jason Garrett and the rest of the Cowboys coaching staff, the Pro Bowl, what could be so hard about the Pro Bowl? We're going to score a bunch of points. The NFC is going to score a bunch of points, and no one plays defense in this game anyway. And then the Pro Bowl happens, and then we're spending yesterday's show, all of us on the station here, talking about why the Pro Bowl was such an issue for the Cowboys coaching staff.
I don't want to fall into that trap, but it's pretty hard to ignore because
it has to be colossally bad for us to talk about that.
It's an exhibition and you're struggling to get first downs and put points on the board. And, you know, again, I don't want to make it more than what it is. It is a Pro Bowl. You know, you got to factor how much motivation there is, but still, I mean, the AFC put up over 400 yards. They put up 26 points. It's
148 total yards for the NFC.
Not a great look for Garrett.
1 for 10 on third down.
The boys.
If you care about that.
Jeez, I didn't know that. That's bad.
So after second down, they're like, whatever. Let's get back on defense so we can have Saquon Barkley and Alvin Kamara rush the quarterback
some
more.
Zeke get after the passer.
And Zeke, yeah.
So why are the Cowboys not in the Super Bowl? That would be my first point, is that when it comes down to it, they don't have game-changing coaches. I think Chris Richard is a game-changing coach, is a defensive coach. I think he helped this defense tremendously this year. I think Rod Marinelli is still a pretty good defensive coach. He's more of a defensive line coach, but they have no game-changing offensive coaches. Scott Linehan wasn't that guy. Jason Garrett, to me, doesn't give you anything extra on game day as an offensive mind. And we're playing, this is an offensive sport now, you know, and you can say all you want, you know, what's the old cliche, defense wins championships. Well, the final four teams in the playoffs didn't really have great defenses. I mean, the Saints on paper, you know, statistically had a pretty good defense, but Chiefs were 31st. Patriots, you know, weren't their typical self defensively. And the Rams, they've got a bunch of names, but throughout the season, you know, up and down defense. They won because they were dynamic offensively. These are the top four scoring teams in the NFL. Dallas, yeah, great year defensively. Scored 21 points a game. I think, what, 26th in the league, something like that?
22nd, I think.
22nd in the league. I think they were 26th in passing offense is what it was. But nonetheless, you know, those are kind of the reasons. They don't have enough firepower on offense, and that's, you know, a direct result of mediocre coaching, in my opinion.
The highest team rating there as far as points per game allowed from the regular season, the Patriots were number 7 on that list, and then just going down New Orleans, or going down to just even the NFC and AFC title games, you have New Orleans there at 14, the Rams at 20, Kansas City 24. So you're looking at these teams like, okay, granted they gave up some points, but they scored a lot. And it's one of those things also where if you're the Cowboys, okay, if your defense is a strength and you're hoping the offense can perform up to the expectations you want to see as a fan in the playoffs. The Rams had that same kind of mindset with their defense. They couldn't stop the run much this year, and they managed to pretty much shut down the Cowboys running game in that game.
Stuffed Zeke.
And they were like, okay, the other story was Todd Gurley in this game. He may not be healthy. Okay, what can they get from him? Well, they found C.J. Anderson, and he was able to torch him, and Todd Gurley was still able to have an okay game with less snaps.
And I think that's the difference, right, between like the Rams and the Cowboys. Let's just make it about those two.
Yeah.
The difference is, okay, so in that game, what is plan A, B, and C for the Cowboys entering any game? Let Zeke control the game. Get him involved. Let him, you know, dictate, you know, set up, you know, some pass and do that. Well, when he gets stuffed, there really isn't a natural plan B for the Cowboys, right? So shift to the NFC Championship game for the Rams. Todd Gurley, total non-factor. C.J. Anderson, very limited. 11 personnel, which is what they run 90% of the time. You know, they weren't getting anything going. Sean McVay goes to 12 personnel. He runs two tight ends. They're able to run the ball a little bit out of there, and they passed out of that on against the Saints. That's adjusting to what's happening in the game. They don't run 12 personnel, but he felt like in that game that was their best chance to move the football and make things happen, and it turned out to work. Cowboys would never do anything like that. The Cowboys let Dak Prescott get sacked 8 times 2 years ago and did not make a single adjustment to help Chaz Green out at left tackle. Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, you know, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, they would never let something like that happen. I'm not, you know, these guys make mistakes and they get beat and, you know, they get out coached at times, but they don't get embarrassed.
I can remember listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and Dan Orlovsky was on there talking about the Rams offense, and he was talking about how they kind of are like Greg Maddux, you know, when Greg Maddux pitched, it was different pitches, but it looked the same coming out of his hand, the same windup, you know, arm angle, everything. It looked like it'd be a fastball, boom, you get hit with something off speed. The Cowboys feel like when you're watching them on offense, when it's not working well, it's like that kid in middle school that might throw 80-something, and it might be hard at first, but then once you realize, hey, all he's going to throw is 80 miles per hour, all right, just tee up for that and get ready to swing. That's what it feels like with the Cowboys in some regards, where it's like, okay, if they can stop Ezekiel Elliott, like the Rams did in that playoff game, he had 20 carries for 47 yards, averaged 2.3 yards per carry. You stop that and try to make Dak Prescott beat you, sometimes he will. We saw a couple games this year, that Giants game in week 17. We saw in the Saints game, he did enough, missed some throws, but did enough. They had a great passing game yards-wise to beat the Saints. Dak can beat you. Dak is a quarterback that we talked about in that Cowboys pregame show that day before the Rams game.
Yeah.
He may not be in the premier range, but he's a quarterback that can make the right throws at the right time. That being said, you don't want to have to off every single week have him under the microscope and having to beat the team when you want to use your main weapon in Ezekiel Elliott, and that's where maybe this offseason you build around on offense, whether you want to roll with the tight ends they have right now. Jeff Swaim's going to be probably – his contract's up, so you're going to have Dalton Schultz and you're going to have Blake Jarwin. Do you go with the tight end there? Do you build up with another receiver, especially a slot receiver if Cole Beasley's no longer in the plans? Right. We saw him going off on Twitter about that last week. So that's where it's going to change for the Cowboys, is how can you make it to where it's not so darn recognizable every single week and giving you more of a Rams look and making it so much different.
He's Taylor Phillips. I'm Harrison Graham, discussing why the Cowboys are not gearing up for the Super Bowl and what's holding them back here on 103.3 FM ESPN. I like that analogy that you mentioned from Orlovsky there. And it's so true, because the Cowboys, while they've got a pretty good fastball on Ezekiel Elliott, eventually teams are going to sit on it. And they know it's coming. And really not eventually. They know it's coming from the beginning. Sometimes it's good enough to beat them because Zeke's that special.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to update you real quick.
Yes, sir.
Eastern Michigan with a 19-15 lead, 10 minutes left in the first half.
Okay, we'll keep.
Who are they playing?
It's Eastern Michigan and Central Michigan.
Oh, okay. Michigan, Central Michigan. Well, okay.
We're going to, just so you guys are aware, listening out there, Tuesday night action, big stakes up there in the great state of Michigan, Eastern versus Central.
When 2, 3, and 4 MAC teams meet up, you just have to throw the records
Absolutely.
Out.
We're going to keep you updated throughout the evening here on 103.3 FM ESPN. But like I was saying, as we shift past the coaching aspect of it, because we've beat that into the ground over the last several months, I'm with you. They got Zeke. They got Cooper. You know, I think Gallup's emerging. I think Beasley's probably going to be gone. I just, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll bring him back at a decent clip. Maybe there's not a great market out there for him, so he decides to come back and they find an agreement. But I'm with you. They got to get another explosive offensive player, and I like the way Gallup's progressing. I think he could become that, but that doesn't mean you just rest on your laurels and you say, "Oh, we like this second-year receiver. We'll do that." No, good teams go add. Look at what the Rams did. You know, some of those guys didn't work out super well. Like Marcus Peters has been hit and miss this year, and Dominique Sue has been hit and miss this year. But you go get those players when they're available, and you can do it. And look at them. They're in the Super Bowl. You know, it's just, like, I look at the list of receivers available this year. Like Golden Tate's a free agent. Go see what his market is. You know, like, go be aggressive. John Brown averaged 17 yards a catch for the Ravens this year, almost 800 yards. Go see if you can add him. Like, there's pieces out there that you can go add. And another thing, I think they need to find a pass-catching running back that can give you a change of pace when Zeke comes out of the game. I like Rod Smith. Seems like a good dude. His brother's a hell of a player. But when he checks into the game, defenses know that he's not a factor. That's just the reality of the situation. It's nothing against him personally, but you're just getting an extremely poor man's Zeke when he checks in. And modern NFL, you want a different look from your second running back. Saints, they got Kamara, who can do a variety of things. Ingram's kind of their bruiser. All of a sudden, the Rams, Gurley can do a little bit of everything. C.J. Anderson is just going to run through people.
Sonny Michel and Rex Burkhead, the Patriots.
Well, and James White. He catches 10 balls a game. Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. I mean, there's examples all over the league. I mean, even before Ajayi gets hurt in Philly, you got him and then Darren Sproles and Smallwood catching passes. I mean, it's all over the NFL that, you know, really good offenses have pass-catching running backs, and Zeke can do that, but he's used so much that he's got to come out of the game at times, and why not have a guy who can offer a little something in the pass game?
And what we're talking about here with all the offensive side of things, it just plays into what the last couple weeks have been, replacing Scott Linehan. Everything's offensive-centered. Kellen Moore, John Kitna, all these names. We're not even talking about the defense much because there's some adjustments that could be made. There may be another interior defensive lineman.
Yeah.
You know, secondary depth's always key because guys will go down.
You feel like you can go to war with that defense,
yes,
though.
And yet, when they were 3-5, we were not talking about the defense being an issue.
And you did not – yeah, they didn't play great in that Rams game, but – I'm going to chalk that up to a couple things. One, the Rams are really talented offensively. And two, that's the biggest game of a lot of those young players' careers. You just got to hope that next time they're going to play a little bit better and stop the run. It's not like they did bad against Goff. They just couldn't stop the run. And again, you're going to face a team or two like that in the playoffs that can score. And that's the point. You got to be able to keep up. And the Cowboys right now, yeah, they can compete with people. They can scratch and claw and, you know, sort of be in a game like that late when they shouldn't be. But the reality of it is they're not going to win a game of that caliber with what they have, both personnel-wise and as far as coaching-wise offensively. I think they're close personnel-wise. You add a piece or two, maybe a tight end in addition to what we're saying. You hope with Travis Frederick, if he can come back, that, you know, the offensive line gets more shored up. Dak continues to improve, but you got to keep adding. You can't – that's where they messed up 2 years ago after they went 13-3. They were like, oh, we're great. You know, we only lost because, oh, Aaron Rodgers made a spectacular play. That's their mindset. No, just because you went 13-3 doesn't mean you don't try to get better in the offseason.